Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, and I'd like to do a commentary on Joshua chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over." I was listening to a commentator today speaking about the book of Joshua and just reminding us what it was all about and how we can know what we have been given, but we don't necessarily believe what God has said in His Word, and that we don't take action on what God tells us to do. And this definitely showed up, especially in that next book that we have in the book of Judges, that even though God had made it very clear that everywhere their foot would go, they would have victory contingent on their obedience. But of course they disobeyed and things got very bad. Sometimes they could not even drive out the people. And they ended up using them as slaves, which was, it sounded maybe like a good idea, but it wasn't, because it meant that they had the influence of those people around them. And in this verse, it says that they came to the Jordan and they lodged there. Again, God is about to do a big miracle in the people. But he wants them to see and learn about him. One of the things, too, that I was reminded of was about how big that river can get. Sometimes it's very placid. It doesn't look that threatening. But other times it can be. And this was one time when it was. In fact, one place where I was reading says that it was 12 feet deep in some parts. And when you keep in mind that there were women and children in that group, and there were about 2.5 million people. So it wasn't an easy thing for them to cross that Jordan when it was swollen at that time. It made me stop when I was reading that and thinking about it. That God is doing all of this so that they can grow in their knowledge and love of Him, and they will see how much He loves them and wants a relationship with them. And the way it hit my heart was that I'm not always about that with the Lord. Sometimes I forget that this is what He wants of me, and I'm more interested in getting stuff. Whatever the stuff is, you know, I have my little prayer request and I want this to happen, I want that to happen. But again, God desires my relationship with Him. Another thing I was thinking of was about hard times, that this wasn't an easy thing for them to do. They've been in the desert for 40 years and they've seen people die left and right. So it was a hard times, but I was reading how hard times develops our faith. And our faith is one of the best things that we can have, because it gives us power. The Bible tells us if we have faith, you know, as small as a mustard seed, you know, we can move mountains. And I know I'm not going around, I mean, some of the things that I have done, and they have been mountain-moving results of God working in my life. But for the day-by-day things, I can still lose my confidence and lose my thought pattern of what I should be doing with my life. So the second verse said, "At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp." So for 3 days, they were at the Jordan just waiting. and they didn't know pretty much what was going to be happening. They knew that a very formidable city was on the other side of the Jordan, and that was the city of Jericho. That was quite formidable. And they were waiting and not sure of what God was going to do. And yet, that's in a way what happens a lot of times with us too, that we ask for things, we hope for things, and we just have to wait and believe that God hears us, and in His time, He's going to show us how powerful He is. Verse 3 says that the people who went around in the camp, the commanders, they commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. That was Joshua 3:3. This was not a do-it-yourself encounter. It was the Ark represented the presence of the Lord, and they were to wait for that Ark to go out before them, and they were to follow it. And I need to think about that on my day-by-day basis too. I don't want to get so busy into my life that I don't sense God with me at all times and speaking to me as well. I just want to make sure I'm listening and hearing Him. Joshua 4 says, and there should be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. A man has a way of being presumptuous, thinking that they can do more than what they can do. I was sharing with my older daughter. Yesterday I had gone over to my granddaughter's house. They right now are 6 and 4 and 2. They all are going to be moving up, before the year is over. But that's their ages right now. But I had brought a little toy over for them. And usually when I do that, I have them box it back up and bring it, so I can bring it another day. And the particular toy, they had to put it in the right way. But they were struggling to do it their way. And I was telling my daughter, I looked over there, and they looked up at me and they said, "We got this, Nana." And I said, "Okay, you got it." But it ended up that Nana had to end up putting it back in the box because they couldn't get it back in the container. But I think about how much I have said that to the Lord. I got this when I haven't. I haven't gotten it. It's just my ego thinking that I am further along than I need to be. So it was made very clear that they were not to go ahead of that Ark. I think I read somewhere it was about half a mile. The Ark was about a half a mile before the crowd so that everybody could see it. And they were not to come near it. They had to follow the way that it was going to go versus the way they thought things should go. So we got to give God space. He is God, and we are not God. Verse 5 says, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. When we are in a battle, the most important thing that we can do is to recheck our identity and become aware again of why we are doing what we're doing. I think about that, especially, in terms of anybody who's listening later, maybe about the food. When we don't remember why it is that we are doing what we are doing with the food, we can feel sorry for ourselves. And there are lots of people out there who want to help us feel sorry. You know, you poor thing, or whatever. Yeah, and after a while, we can start thinking that way too and pushing the cart. And that's not where God has us at all, that we're not to do that. We are to remember that we belong to the Lord. We have to consecrate ourselves. We have to make sure we remember our identity and why we are doing what we're doing. He saved us. The Bible says that He took us out of a slimy pit and put our feet on a rock and has given us a new place to stand. And it's our ego, again, that makes us think that we have always been capable of doing what we can do today. And that is so far from the truth. Joshua 3:6. And Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. That's Joshua 3:6. And then Joshua 3:7, the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." You know, God does everything that is good. The Bible says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. So if we see something fantastic, we know that God's hand, I mean truly fantastic and of eternal value, God's hand was in that. You know, all those great people, you know, J. Vernon McGee and Charles Stanley and, Franklin Graham and all of these people, you know, that you want to think of. At some point in their life, they had to surrender and start believing what God said about them as children of the living King. You know, we can sling that around a lot, that phrase, but the truth is that this is true. We are children of the King, and we must believe it. We must believe it, not to make us arrogant, but to keep us from shrinking back. There is a verse, it's in Hebrews, and I think it's Hebrews 10:39. It says, "We are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved." So we must believe on it. I was thinking, that song that used to be popular last year, I think, or maybe the year before, "Believe for It." The words were, you know, they say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There's power in your name. There's power in your name. Move the unmovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. And that believing it, that is the key. That's the difference, you know, like I said, between people who are making it God's way, you know, success God's way, and those who are just dreaming about it. That what does God want? He wants us to shine. The Bible says that, you know, we don't hide what He has given to us under a bushel. No, we put it on a lampstand so that more people can know that they have a good, good Father. He loves them, and He wants them to shine for Him. He wants them to have the best, and He is the best. Verse 8 says, "And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. I was listening again to a commentator, and he was saying that that word, the Ark of the Covenant, is so many times, you know, in this book of Jordan, book of Joshua, about the Ark of the Covenant, because the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. And the Bible tells me that God never leaves me. He never forsakes me. So at any given moment, I am in the presence of God. He's right here, right now. Even as I am here, I'm trying to speak about His Word. He is with me, and I want to acknowledge Him, and I want to listen to Him, and I want to shine for Him. Do what He calls me to do. Verse 9, and Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. I mean, I could go on and on about that and how it's important for me to be in God's Word every day. Regardless of how busy my day seems or how many things I have on my agenda, is not more important than what God wants to tell me. And the Bible even tells me this, that faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. I want to hear God's Word. But if I fail to do that, then I'm setting myself up for what I call amnesia a lot. Amnesia is like I'm sitting there wondering, who am I and what am I doing? What am I supposed to be doing? And if I get to that place, it's only a matter of time that I'm like little orphan Annie, poor thing, you know, poor little me. Everybody else is doing wonderfully. I can't do anything, and God doesn't hear me, and it's taking too long, and, you know, on and on and on. The older I get, I see the wisdom of, you know, not rushing anything that God has in mind for me, because I think I see this in the book of the Kings, boy. The Kings, woo, even today in Chronicles, this is the point of Solomon's life where he is so compliant. He is so, when I read it, it makes my heart break a little because I know the end of the story. And it makes me think, how can somebody go from this place where he is so in love with the Lord and he turns, you know, to idols and all these women and whatever. And I thought in my mind, it's little by little. I cannot rest on my laurels. I cannot say, last week I was on fire for the Lord. And sometimes, regrettably, I can look at my journals and see things that God gave me as I was studying. And I was going, gosh, boy, I certainly am not in that place today. I'm backslidden. Please help me, Lord. I want to be used by you. But it does take this steadfastness. This is not my home. This is not, you know, where I think I have heaven on earth, or I want to be having my head on a pillow and somebody dropping food in my mouth. No, that's not happening right now. And I have work. God has work for me to do. And so in verse 10, it says, and Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. That was Joshua 3:10. You know, God won't fail us. And despite the size of the army, you know, these are all these people. These are people, people, people. Despite the size of the army, and not only that, they knew the land. It was like these were people coming into the land, and these people had the home advantage. They knew the land. So, but despite the size of the army against us, God can and He will defeat our enemies as we obediently follow him. But again, we got to remember what he says in his word. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. You know, the weapons of the world is mouthing off, you know, and sloughing off, you know, working under half steam, or gossiping or slandering, and all of that. That's only depletes our energy. We don't want to do that. We want to be strong in the Lord. Joshua 3:11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Passing over before you into the Jordan. You know, God goes before us in the things that he calls us to do. If he's calling us to do something, he has gone before us. He's going before us. Three verses I have. One was Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Again, he's not just sending us. He goes ahead. Isaiah 45:2. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. You know, he will remove those obstacles. Like, reminds me of those women who came, they came to put spices on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they were wondering all the way there, how in the world are we going to move that stone? But God saw it, and he moved it. Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. You know, he has a constantly, he's guiding us. Doesn't matter if it's bright, shiny, and we're dancing, you know, or whether it is dark and gloomy, and we just feel like, how in the world am I going to do it? God sees, and he is definitely going to help us. So in Joshua 3:12, he says, now therefore, take 12 men from the tribe of Israel, from each tribe a man. Verse 13, and when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. You know, those priests especially had to walk by faith and not by sight. It wasn't like the Red Sea. You know, the Red Sea, it broke out, you know, broke apart before the people went through it. But in this case, the priests had to do a leap of faith. They had to step out in that crazy water that was overflowing its banks and had deep parts of it. So we have to take action, and then we'll see the miracle. You know, not the other way around. You know, show me the miracle, God, and then I'm going to take some action. No, more chances out of not, it is that we have to take the action, and then we start seeing the miracle. Verse 14, so when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And it says, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. Again, a reminder, this was not a little wimpy, you know, stream. This was a river ferociously overflowing its banks. The water coming down from above stood, is this verse 16, and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is between Zarethan and those flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. The priest, you know, had to step in again before the water parted, and this was different than the Red Sea. But they had the knowledge of what God had done in the Red Sea. They only two of them had actually seen it. That was Joshua and Caleb, but they had definitely heard that story from people over and over again. In fact, you remember last week, Rahab, who was not even a Jew, had heard about that story about the Red Sea parting at that time. And then the last verse in this chapter was 17. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nations finished passing over the Jordan. I wanted to also just reiterate some of those key verses as a way for us to do application, because that's the bottom line. The Bible says, do not merely, you know, listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. So here are some things that we want to think about. In Joshua 3:3, it says, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priest, then you should set out from your place and follow it. You know, we have to wait on the Lord. It's essential. If we want to receive the best that God has for us, we got to wait. He is God and we are not. We have been crucified with him. Dear Father, please strengthen us to stop, drop, and pray early and often so that we keep getting your direction on what we need to do. Second key verse, Joshua 3:5, consecrate yourself. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You know, in consecration, we prepare our hearts. Now, God is not going to force us to choose him. He's not going to do that, make us choose him above all others. But when we make that choice on our own volition, we will be blessed beyond measure. So I said, Father, please keep me honest about those things that vie for my full allegiance to you. You know, there are many things that will pull me away from the Lord. You know, even abstinent food. Please, if I wanted to, I could go all over town gathering me some abstinent, you know, goodies, and which is not wrong to do. You know, if God says it's fine, he loves festival times. He loves, you know, celebrations at time, but we don't celebrate all day long because, you know, that's not, we got work to do here. We got work. And so consecrate means that I am focused on his work and let him be in charge. Joshua 3:7. God said, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You know, God knows that we need affirmation. And it's utterly foolish to look for it in places other than in God, or to murmur and stomp our feet because things are not unfolding right away. You know, like, oh, I don't have this and I don't have that and this is not going. You know, dear Father, teach me to find my greatest delight in you. Because I always have the Lord. And so there's no reason why I shouldn't have joy. You know, I want to have that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You know, where? Down in my heart. The next verse that I have is Joshua 3:9. It says, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. I can be so busy, quote unquote, serving God that I fail to take the time to truly and deeply worship him. Every day I can give a light touch or a checklist type of mentality, and that's not. So I said, Father, I pray not to forget the power of praise. Joshua 3:13. When the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. You know, so God requires a step of faith. He required it here before the miracle came, and it happens to us too. That God says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. And yeah, we get tired sometimes, but God sees every good thing that we do. And so I want to walk by faith today and not by sight. And the last verse I have, I thought I had seven, but I only have six. This is Joshua 3:17. And it says, now the priest bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing on to dry ground until all the nations finished passing over the Jordan. I want to remember that I have been called to be a servant leader. The priests were the first ones that had to go into that raging water, and not only that, they had to stand in the middle of that water. You know, it was dry land, but the water was bound up on both sides. While the people went over. And the Bible says, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. And so it's no longer about me. Father, strengthen me to complete the work that you have called me to do. You know, it's not about carnival time. It's about, you know, doing the work for the Lord. But let me pray. Father, I thank you for this book of Joshua. I thank you for this chapter in Joshua, Lord, and the miracles that you show us, even in our own lives, Lord. You part those seas, and you help us to walk on water and on dry land. We thank you so very much. Help us in this very night to think and plan how we are going to use what we have been given. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.